Dear Cheap Astronomy, how hot do black hole accretion disks get? This question follows on from a previous Dear Cheap Astronomy on the temperature of black holes. But it's worth noting there are all sorts of accretion disks out there. Accretion disks can form around any dense centre of mass with sufficient gravity to draw in surrounding matter. As that matter falls inwards, it is constrained within a smaller volume, creating collisions and frictional interactions. All that creates heat, and the congestion of infalling material forces that material into an inspiraling orbit, hence creating the appearance of a disk. Nonetheless, that material is falling inwards, occupying progressively lower orbits as its angular momentum is lost in the form of heat due to all the collisions and the friction. An average protoplanetary disk does heat up during the period in which most of it eventually spirals into its star, with any planets formed representing the scant remains that were left behind when the disk had lost too much density for angular momentum to be further lost in collisions and heating. So since that remaining material couldn't unload its angular momentum, it just stayed in the same orbit around the star. But moving beyond simple stellar systems, if you keep upping the scale so that you make a black hole the centre of mass, and you also scale up the amount of raw material that's available to fall into it, then you will start getting much more dramatic effects. Most of the black holes that we know about because they radiate X-rays from their accretion disks. Of course, there may be many more black holes out there that don't have accretion disks and hence don't radiate anything, and hence we don't know whether they're actually there or not, but that is another story. We think the hottest accretion disks of all are found around quasars, which are supermassive black holes that are consuming large proportions of the galaxies that they reside in. Quasars are mostly found in very distant parts of the universe, which is another way of saying they are mostly found in very early parts of the universe. It may be that a younger, more compact and denser universe has a greater propensity to make really big and really hot accretion disks. Nonetheless, the closest quasar to us, Macarian 231, is only 600 million light-years away, so isn't really all that old. But just how hot are these quasars? We can only estimate their temperature from the radiation we receive on Earth, adjusted for any redshift that may be imposed upon very distant objects. So, for example, we routinely pick up quasars with radio telescopes since much of their original energy output has been redshifted to radio frequencies. Nonetheless, we can readily estimate that their peak emissions were in the X-ray range when emitted. The general principle of heat and light, where red is hot but blue is hotter, applies across the whole electromagnetic spectrum, where the hotter something is, the shorter the wavelength of its peak emission. So if something does have peak emission wavelengths in X-rays, you can be sure those things are going to be pretty darned hot, anywhere in the range of 300,000 Kelvin to 300 million Kelvin. For your average quasar, we think that the temperature of the innermost parts of their accretion disks probably approach 80 million Kelvin. So yep, that is pretty darned hot. But just like how the coldest place in the universe is probably the cold atom lab aboard the International Space Station, the hottest place in the universe is probably in the Large Hadron Collider, where we can generate temperatures similar to those prevalent a few micromoments after the Big Bang, when the universe was filled with quark gluon soup. Of course, those sort of temperatures only last for a moment and only occur within a very tiny volume. So if you are looking for a very large volume of stuff that remains very hot over a very long time period, then you can't go past quasar accretion disks.